We want Brother Stephen Merritt to come, give us his burden that the Lord has put upon him. Hallelujah. So thankful to have him here. We love to have missionaries in our church, don't we? Amen. Come on up, brother.
Let's give that to God tonight. Amen. Oh, yes, God. Oh, come on, somebody, yes. Has he been good to you? Has he been good to you? God, you're so good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Oh, yes. There's nothing like the presence of God. And you can search all your life and you can go to the furthest ends of the earth. You're never going to find any place like the presence of God. And I am so thankful that we have God in our midst tonight. Amen. We are so blessed. Leaned over and told Pastor Roberts, I said, Brother Roberts, we are blessed. He told me the story of his son coming back from the missions trip. We're blessed. We are blessed beyond measure, beyond comprehension. We are so blessed. And I don't ever want to take it for granted that I am able to come into the house of God and be in the presence of a God that is so powerful, so real, and so loving that I might miss what God wants to do. I want to stand in awe at His splendor, His majesty, His sovereignty, His love, His might, knowing that He loves every single one of us on an individual basis. And He wants to do a special work in our lives tonight. I believe that. Not just corporately, but I believe individually, God wants to meet you where you are right now. No matter what your situation is, big or small, severe, maybe not severe, it does not matter. God wants to meet you where you are right now. Praise God. Amen. Won't you grab your Bibles? I usually do a missions presentation, but I don't know. I just feel in the Holy Ghost that we need to go with what we feel right now. Is that okay? I mean, it goes without saying that I travel to raise funds to get back to New Zealand. I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But sometimes I give a presentation. Sometimes I just go right to the Word of God, depending on what I feel in the Holy Ghost, and I don't want to quench what God wants to do here tonight by talking about our financial needs in New Zealand. Maybe at the end of the service tonight, we might show the video. But if it's okay with you, I'm going to go right to the Word of God. And I want to see God minister to somebody tonight. I want to see somebody healed tonight. I want to see somebody renewed tonight. I want to see somebody's heart restored tonight. Maybe a broken spirit renewed tonight. What do you say? God can do it. What do you say? One more time, can we just thank God for what He's going to do tonight? We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Before we see anything, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for pouring out your Spirit tonight. God, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. That is faith in action, thanking God before you ever see it. Praising God before you even feel it. Before you even think that it might happen. We need to go ahead and get into that boat of praise and thank God for doing it. Because He's going to do it, I believe it. I believe it. He loves you so much, that's why He's going to do it. Because He cares for you. He loves you. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, thank you for standing. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. I want to give honor to your pastor and his family. I don't ever take it lightly that I have an opportunity to preach at a church that I've never met before, and I understand the honor in that, to be able to come behind a man's pulpit and him put trust in someone that he really doesn't know. But we do know each other through the Spirit. Amen. We have mutual desires, and that is to see God minister to somebody tonight. Amen. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, I have no doubt that somebody's going to leave impacted. Praise God. And what a great show of young people. That's awesome. Amen. What a great show of young people. This is awesome. They are the future. Don't you believe that? But we would not be here if it was not for the old people. And the middle-aged people. So thank you for allowing us to stand on your shoulders and go higher than you ever went. And further than you ever went. Praise God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Everybody say, because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. One more time, could you join with me? Let's ask God to truly have his way. Whatever he wants to do tonight, I want to follow after that. God, we love you. We thank you for your presence. Yes, God, in the name of Jesus. Pour out the Holy Ghost, oh God. Maybe lean over and grab somebody by the hand. Lay your hand on their shoulder. Let's bind together and pray. Oh, yes, God, do a mighty work tonight. Do a mighty work tonight. Yes, Hataya, Rabaya, Sataya. Of Jesus. Praise God. You may take your seat here tonight. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah wrote, "I have chosen that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." And then, I guess God asks a question about himself. He says, "Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded." We're talking about the might of our God. We're talking about the sovereignty of our God that's here in this place tonight. It goes on to say, "There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. If God can do all of that, I have no doubt tonight that God can and will fix your situation. If God can create man out of the dust of the earth, if God can speak a word and the cosmos is formed, your problem is not too big for our God. We need to wrap our minds around just how big God is. Just how grand our God is. Just how powerful our God really is. I think sometimes we get in a rut, Pastor Roberts, and we kind of forget that we serve the omnipotent, bona fide, genuine, real, powerful God that can do anything. There is nothing that our God cannot do. And as long as we can exercise a little bit of faith here tonight, I promise you that God will show up and God will show out. Yes, he will. The Hebrew word to anoint is the word Meshach. And I didn't know that until I looked it up, so I'm not that smart. The original word Meshach means the anointed one or one who has been anointed. And throughout history, we see that these words, they have kind of changed a little bit to accommodate to the changes in languages. And Meshach turned into the word that you and I know very well, which is the word Messiah. We know Messiah is the anointed one, the Christ, Jesus. But this anointing that we just read about in our opening text, I want you to know that it's not just some feeling that might overshadow you when your favorite song is being played. This anointing that is found here in the book of Isaiah is not some miracle potion or a pill that you take twice a day to relieve the pressures of this world. But this anointing that we just read about and that I spoke about, it stems from something far majestic. It comes from something far greater, far more powerful than anything that a man or woman might be able to conjure up in their minds. You see, if you were to go back to the Old Testament, you would find a man that was about to be anointed king, or he was about to be anointed into his priestly duties, or to be set apart for a holy work. And the current priest or prophet would take a bottle of fine produced oil and begin to pour that oil upon the head of that man, and that oil would begin to run down his face and it would run down his garments, and that priest that was anointing him would begin to massage those oils into the pores of his skin. It wasn't just a sprinkle here or there, it wasn't a dab here or there, but it was an outpouring, it wasn't overflow of the anointing oil if the job was to be done correctly. And I believe tonight so many times we get into the house of God, so many times we see singers and musicians that are anointed, and we hear the word of God that goes forth, and truly God is in our midst, and we just get a sprinkling though, or a dab here or there, and we scratch our heads wondering, why in the world did I leave the same way that I came in? The reason is because you did not get under the spigot. You did not get under the overflow of the anointing of God's Spirit. And when you put the time in, I promise you, God will show himself mighty in your life. But so often we have that microwave mentality. We want to put in that hot pocket, and 30 seconds later we want our meal that's going to sustain us. It's going to give us strength. It's going to be healthy for us, when in reality it's not even good for us. That's not how God works. Sometimes you got to put the time in and say, God, I'm availing myself. I'm opening myself up to you. I'm ready for you to pour into my life. While doing this, the priest would say a prayer unto the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I want us to see the large difference in the anointing process of the children of Israel versus any other nation's anointing process. You see, it was not the type of oil they might have used, or how they poured that oil upon that person, or even the words that they might have prayed, or the process of their ceremony, but the effectiveness of the anointing over that man. The effectiveness of the anointing over that nation. It always worked within the parameters that the anointing process was only as powerful as the might and power of your God. This bottle of oil right here, it has no anointing attributes, except that the Word of God says we are to anoint with oil. It has power because we are first obedient, and it has power secondly because it's connected to God. The process that's been in the Word of God for many, many years. The prayer that we pray would be to no avail if it was not connected to a God. The ceremony, the process, the anointing, it has no power except that it's connected to a God that is all power. So when a man anoints you with oil, the reason that you're going to get healed is, yes, because you believe. And yes, that man of God has an anointing on his life, and that anointing is connected to the God of the Old Testament that we know very well. But the power that I believe is here in this room tonight is not here because necessarily the songs that we sang, or the fact that it might be a midweek service, or possibly because of our charisma or our eloquence. None of that, I'm sorry to tell you, none of that lends to the delivering. None of that lends to the healing power that is in this room right now. You see, this anointing that preserved the nation of Israel, this anointing that empowered David as he stepped out onto the battlefield, this same delivering power that stopped up the mouths of lions, this same saving power that brought the people of God through the Red Sea onto dry land, this same miraculous power that overshadowed all the prophets throughout the Old Testament and brought wisdom and strength to our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This power that we see so evidently throughout the Old Testament, it was not left behind in the Old Testament to be lost and never used again. It was not forgotten about. It was not lost in translation. But as a matter of fact, that same anointing that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 10 and 27 that has power to break the yokes of this world and the bondages of sin, it was, I believe, without any doubt, literally and physically and spiritually translated into the New Testament. And that was done through the body and the man, Jesus Christ, whom the scriptures call him numerous times the Messiah. Jesus Christ, the anointed one, who robed himself in flesh and walked among us, performing many mighty miracles, opening the blinded eyes, raising the dead, unstopping the deaf ears, straightening the crippled limbs. He submitted himself to the will of the Father. And he willingly went to a cross to die, left to hang there until dead, was buried in a tomb, rose the third day, and finally he poured himself out on the day of Pentecost. And with that brought a power to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives, to bring sight to the blind, and set free those that are oppressed. That same anointing that we see in the Old Testament did not stay in the Old Testament, but it was transferred through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And when he poured himself out on the day of Pentecost, he poured out that very same anointing that can break any yoke. I believe without a shadow of a doubt in my mind that there is in this room right now an anointing that is going to break every yoke that might be in your life. It's going to destroy every addiction. It can break every chain. It will bind up and rebuke every demon. It has the power to destroy every cancer cell, every diabetic condition, every crippled limb. It's going to save every lost soul that might be in this room tonight. There is nothing that the might and power of the manifested Spirit of God cannot do in this room. And my friend, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I want everyone here tonight to begin to realize that when you get healed, or when you get delivered, and when you get set free, or when God fills you with the Holy Ghost tonight, it's not going to happen because of anything we have done. It's not going to happen because of anything that I might have done. It's not going to happen because of anything that Pastor Roberts might have done. But it's going to happen because of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and God's anointing that is in this room tonight. For those that are in need of it. For those that have faith enough to receive it. And I'm thankful for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that we don't have to put that upon our shoulders of responsibility. We simply lift up our hands, create an atmosphere of praise. We simply move closer to God. We simply lift up the name of Jesus. And the Bible says if we move closer to Him, that He's going to draw nigh unto us. When we do that, that's when the presence of God begins to brood over this place. That's when the anointing starts to flow. And if it can interact with somebody's faith, that's when miracles start happening. Just because the anointing is here doesn't mean there's also going to be miracles. Just because God is here does not mean there's also going to be chains broken in your life. Yes, it can happen, and I believe it's going to happen tonight, but it must interact with somebody that has faith enough to believe. Somebody that's desperate enough to put in the time and not be worried about where we're going to go eat afterwards. Not be worried about tomorrow, but just rein in your mind and just focus on the goodness of God just for the next 20 minutes. I was in a service not long ago where was I? California, that's where it was. I just clocked over 23,000 miles the last 4 months. I'm ready to get home. I'm ready to get back to New Zealand. My tires are bald as... There's a few of you out there, but I'm not going to call you out. Let's just say they need to be replaced right away. But I was in California preaching for Brother Allard there in Tracy. And you may not know this, but the CEO of Amazon is a Holy Ghost-filled apostolic man of God in the Canadian district. Pretty cool, huh? Mr. Bentley's his name. And he was there preaching, and I was there just to give a missions presentation for I Am Global. And that's what I did. I went up there and I gave my 7-minute presentation. I sat down. We sang some songs. Mr. Bentley came up, began to preach. He preached about the anointing of God's Spirit. He preached about the renewing of God's power. He preached an apostolic message. And the altar filled up, and we began to pray for people. And there was a lady over here. She was crying. That lady was speaking with other tongues, and that person was doing something. Looked like we were having a great time. And I thought in my Pentecostal mind, well, we're about done. We're about to head out, and God, you did it again. Good job, God. Glad we could help you make it happen. Glad we could put in our skills and our charisma and our nice singing and playing the piano. I'm glad we could help. You did what you want to do. Just about that time, there was a lady in the back. She lifted up her voice and cried out like a banshee unto God. And another wave of the Holy Ghost filled that room. It wasn't a big room. It was probably maybe half of this pew wide and maybe to the back of the pews. It was a very small building. But it was full of people that were desperate. It was full of what time it might be. They were hungry for something supernatural. And I said, God, well, you're pretty good. You did it again, God. And I thought in my mind, I honestly thought, well, we're about done. And as I'm standing here before you tonight, another wave of the Holy Ghost filled that little room. And it was tangible. It was so real. In all the years that I walked with God, 29 years, which ain't a lot, but it's 29 years, I have never been in a service like that. It was so powerful near the end of the service, I couldn't even utter any words because I felt I'm not worthy. It was so powerful. But that did not happen because of a stroke of the keyboard or the perfection of their choir or the welcomeness of their greeters, though all that's important. It happened when the anointing decided to flow. It happened when the presence of God began to brood over that place and brood over those hearts. And the people responded accordingly. They were receptive to what was happening in their midst. They understood that before us there is a presence. There is a God that is wanting to heal, wanting to deliver, wanting to restore, wanting to fill somebody with His Spirit. There was a lady standing right there about where Pastor is sitting. She was a Fijian lady. She had been going to that church for a number of years, but she had been seeking the Holy Ghost for 7 long years. And I felt an unction of the Holy Ghost. I said, Pastor, can I say something to the church? I took the microphone. I said, There is coming to this church very soon an influx of souls that are going to need the gift of the Holy Ghost. Get ready. Teach your men how to pray for people in the altar. It's going to happen. Not one or two, but I'm talking about tens and 20 and 30 at a time are going to come to this church to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Gave him the mic. There was a man that was right there, went over to that lady that needed the Holy Ghost. I knew nothing about it. He laid his hand upon her. The church gathered around. 7 years she had been seeking. 7 years. Lifted up her hand. Tears streaming down her face. The church began to pray for her faith was in the building. Within just a few minutes, she began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God began to fill her up. That would not have happened if the anointing was not present. That precious lady would not have in her to this day a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If it was not for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, if it was not for the presence of God that decided to show up, I don't want to miss what God wants to do in this service tonight. It didn't happen because of their church program. It did not happen because of their skills or their talents, not because of their guest ministry or anything they might have had in that church. But God showed up, He showed out because the anointing started to flow. That same anointing that flowed down Aaron's beard, that same anointing that empowered the first century apostles to say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." When that anointing is present, and there are folks that are receptive to that anointing, and they have faith, and they have expectation, they have desperation inside of them, you can bet your bottom dollar that there will be miracles and signs and wonders that will follow. And I believe that God is going to do what is on the screen before we leave here tonight. I believe that somebody's chains are going to break here tonight. I believe somebody's going to leave free of sin. Somebody's going to leave free from fear. Somebody's going to leave tonight free from the past. Somebody's going to leave tonight being totally set free from the sinful yokes that might be in your life that have kept you bound far too long. And it's not going to happen because of anything that I might say or do, but it's going to happen when the anointing starts to flow. Not just a dab, not just a sprinkle here or there. So often I think we get into the presence of God and the anointing is present. The animal that had the yoke put upon its neck, the very first time that yoke was placed on its neck, it did not like it. And I guarantee it bucked, it yawed, it screamed like a baby, and it probably broke that yoke in two. But the next day, that farmer got another yoke and put it on the animal again. And it probably bucked again, it probably yawed and screamed again and ran off. But time and time again, that farmer kept putting a yoke on that animal. And over a period of time, that animal started to think, well, this is normal. This is the way life is supposed to be. This is natural. This is what I'm supposed to do all my life. This is who I am. The same thing can happen to the people of God. when they come into the presence of God and the anointing is here, when God's presence is here, when God is waiting to heal you, when God is wanting to deliver you and set you free and fill you with His Spirit, just being in the outpouring is not the same as experiencing an infilling. Just being in the presence of the anointing of God's Spirit sometimes does not get the job done. Sometimes it takes you opening up and getting under the spigot and say, God, I need an infilling. And when that doesn't happen, you leave the same way you came, and you start thinking, well, this must be normal. I must be destined to carry these yokes. I must be destined to carry these addictions, these bondages, this sickness, this disease, when all the while it is not the will of God. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not what we can create through emotionalism, I'm sorry to say. It's not a feel-good service. Take me out of the equation and put God in the middle of your situation. Let us stop trying to coerce and let us stop trying to twist God's arm into producing a miracle. Not by might nor by power. But when His Spirit decides to fill this room and that fine anointing settles over your situation and there rises inside of you a spirit of desperation, a spirit of expectation, a spirit of faith, that you know God has heard your cry and seen your faith. And by that He begins to shatter and break every chain, every yoke that might be in your life. And you can walk out of that service having the power of the anointing dripping off of your life. It is not the will of God for you to leave the same way that you came tonight. Somebody hear me tonight. It is not the will of God for you to have to be burdened with all of these diseases and sickness that plague the body of Christ. He did not go to the cross so you can carry that yoke with you for the rest of your life. Quit thinking that it's not the will of God. Quit thinking that you have to have this thorn in your life to keep you humbled. There was one man in the entire Word of God that had that destiny. It is the will of God for you to leave being set free. I will not believe the lie any longer. I will not stand by and say, well, if it's the will of God, if God wants to do it, if it's in His plan, it is in His plan, it is His will. By His stripes, we are healed. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they're going to speak with other tongues. It's in the Word of God. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's talking about you and I. We are the believers. We are the body of Christ. Don't listen to the lie of this world. Don't listen to that thought inside of you that probably is the devil telling you that it's the will of God for you to live like this the rest of your life. It is not. And I understand there's a process. And I'm not belittling your situation that you have carried for a very long time. I'm not belittling the fact that you have come down to an apostolic altar and you have exercised faith. And you have believed that the anointing can break that yoke, but it just didn't happen. I understand that. But Billy Cole said it right when he said, you can't fake faith. That's all that God asks of us is to believe. And then he will do the rest. Let me tell you another story. You like stories? I like stories. Thank you. There was a lady in Virginia who was married to this man. And as I was out to eat with the pastor that night, he began to tell me of this couple that had been having marital problems. And he told me that he was counseling with her in the office. And I believe God is about to do this in just a minute. The story that I'm about to tell you. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. He was counseling with her in the office one Wednesday night. And he told her, he said, I'm about to go preach a message about the renewal of God in your life. I'm about to preach a message that talks about breaking chains, that talks about restoration. You see, this lady, she arrived at a place in her life where she hated her husband. And they were still married, which that's going to cause for a heap of trouble. And he said to the lady, he said, would you come down to the altar and let us pray with you? And if you knew that God would take all of that hatred out of your life and put love in there, would you come down and let us pray with you? He said, Pastor, you don't understand. I hate my husband. He's like, well, I understand that. He said, just hypothetically, though, just work with me. If you knew God was going to take all of that hatred out of you, just like that, would you come down and let us pray with you? And again, she said, Pastor, you do not understand. I do not like that man. You're probably wondering, why are they still married then? I don't know. So God could do what he was about to do. But she said, I hate my husband. It must have been a spiritual stronghold in her life to arrive at a place like that you hate somebody so ferociously. And finally she conceded and said, okay, Pastor, I guess I'll come down and let you pray with me. He said, fantastic, we'll see you in 5 minutes. So she walked out, left the office, went to the sanctuary, and the way the pastor told it to me was, I sat there in that office, I looked up to heaven, and I said, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into now? You have got to show up. Because I just told that lady that you're going to take all of that hatred out. And you're going to replace it with love. You better do it. So he went out to the sanctuary, got behind the pulpit, began to preach what he knew God had given him. That anointing just... That anointing just began to settle over that place. It began to brood over the hearts of the young people. It began to brood over the hearts of the married couples and the single adults. And before long, the altar was filled up. There was weeping, there was shouting, there was dancing, there was rejoicing, there was renewal, there was restoration, there was healing, diseases were being cast out. God was on the scene doing a great work. There was that lady sitting back there, did not budge, did not move one iota, but people all around. In her mind, she was probably thinking the same thing you think. Well, if they sing it one more time, if they sing it one more time, it's the will of God for me to go down. If they sing this song next, it's the will of God. You thought that. Finally, she came down and she stood there on the altar and she lifted up her hand, then lifted up the other hand. Before long, there was a stray tear coming down her face. You could see that the anointing was beginning to work. Let me fast forward for you. 2 hours later, lights were off. Everybody was gone. Pastor was back in his office. He was waiting on that lady. She was tucked up under the front row pew, lying on the floor, crying out to God. Tears were soaking that carpet. She was on the operating table, if you will. God was doing a heart transplant inside of her life, and she was enwrapped with the anointing of God's Spirit. She finally got up from where she was, pastor's office, stood in the doorway and said, "Pastor, I got something great to tell you. I got good news to tell you." Tears streaming down her face. He looked at her and said, "What is it?" She said, and I quote, "Pastor, I love my husband." This thing is real. And if you were to go to that church today, you would find a happily married couple being used of God mightily to do great things locally in that city. Our God can do anything. The anointing can break any stronghold. The anointing can mend any broken heart. The anointing can fix any relationship. There is nothing that God can't do. Does not matter what it is. If you can just get into the presence of God and open up your situation and just exercise a little bit of faith, God can use it. You can see a miracle tonight. It's the will of God. Why don't we stand all over this place this evening? Again, the Bible promises that these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. As that priest began to pour that oil upon that chosen man's head, and it flowed down his face, into his eyes, through his beard, down his garments, through and under his feet, that priest would begin to say a prayer unto the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And in that moment of time, something supernatural began to take place in that man's life that would change him forever. That oil by itself had no power. That prayer by itself had no power. Again, that ceremony by itself had no power. It was all tied to how powerful their God was. And our God is very powerful. I said our God is very powerful. God is omnipresent. That means He's in this room right now. But that's not good enough. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. If we are to lift up Him, Bible says that He will draw all men unto Himself. But again, that is not good enough only. There needs to be an infilling. Like that lady that was down there on the floor in that church. She was experiencing an infilling. She allowed the anointing to saturate her. We get dabs and sprinkles of the anointing every Sunday. But when was the last time that you opened up yourself and you took all the stock out, all the reserves? You reached down deep. You got all the faith that you can muster. And you said, now is the time that I'm going to leave that place. Restored. I'm not leaving until those yokes are broken in my life. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Country of Spain with missionary Nathan Herod and one of their daughter works in the city of Figueroa. There was a lady who had come into that church who had a husband who was not yet convinced that what she had experienced was real. That new believer was able to convince her husband to attend a healing service there in the country of Spain. And during this healing service with about 40 people that were present, this lady's husband came down to the altar to see what God would actually do in his life. Brother Herod asked the man what he needed from Jesus. The man responded that he had lost his hearing in his left ear in an accident many years ago. Brother Herod instructed him to begin to thank Jesus for opening his deaf ear by faith. That man was not sure how to pray or what even to say, but he simply said what he knew to say, and that was, thank you, Jesus, for opening my deaf ear. And as he did that, the church began to pray. As you see in the picture there, Brother Herod laid his hands upon the man's ear. And Jesus did not hesitate. Jesus immediately responded, and that man's deaf ear opened up, and that man began to weep as he saw that Jesus was indeed real. It does not matter if it's a deaf ear, or if it's a blind eye, or if it's a withered limb, if it's a broken heart, if it's a bruised spirit. It does not matter. In the nation of Austria, there was a Muslim kid in Vienna that knew nothing about the Holy Ghost, knew nothing about Pentecost. Came down to that tent revival there on the screen. You can see he only knew what the Quran taught him. He didn't know that he could become a new creature in Christ. He did not know that he could drink of these waters and there would flow out of his innermost being rivers of living water. He did not know that this gift was for him. One day for his children, for those that are far off. He did not realize that. He did not understand what he was hearing entirely or what he was feeling. But there was one thing that he could not deny, and that was the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that began to pour all over that. He lifted up his hand, tears streaming down his face. He began to pray for him. Within just a few minutes of praying with him, his lips began to cook. His tongue began to speak things that were not German, were not English, but it was a heavenly language as God began to fill his innermost being with those rivers of living water. This thing is real. This anointing is real. In the nation of Malawi, before we come down to this altar, in the nation of Malawi, just last year in September, as you see on the screen there, it's a primitive place. It's third world, very similar to the Philippines. They do not have what we have. But when they hear a man of God say, "You're going to be healed because the word of God says it," they believe. That can happen to you tonight. I said that can happen to you tonight. There were 16 blind eyes instantly opened. Immediately were opened. When the word of faith was spoken over that pulpit, all 16 of them lifted up their hand. There was 14 deaf ears that were instantaneously unstopped. growth on their neck or on their side. It was a visible tumor. Either shriveled up or it fell off. Or in a few days it was entirely gone. 99 were baptized for the remission of their sins. You can get baptized tonight. Your sins can be washed away tonight. There was one lady that was mute. We got the video of it, not with us tonight. I should have brought it. But the pastor of that lady said she had a disease and she was mute for 3 years. Nobody prayed for her. This is how the anointing works. We don't have to put our fingerprint on it. When somebody's healed, they don't have to leave and say, well, so-and-so did this, or it was that man's ministry, or I was sitting under this pastor. No, our fingerprint better not be on it. Nobody prayed for that lady. In the middle of the sin, believed, exercised her faith, opened up her soul.